Test.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to United Pentecostal Church Wednesday evening service. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord tonight. We do have a few prayer lists right now that if we could just all stand and just wave at your neighbor, shake somebody's hand, just say, hey, it's good to see you here on a midweek service night tonight. It's good to see every smiling face here tonight. Our prayer list, we need to keep Kenda Covey in prayer, Sister Mary Formby, Dee Dee Freeland, Brother and Sister Griffith, Butler Matthews, the missionaries, the needs on our list up here. Let's not forget about them. Father, we're thankful for this day right now, God. I pray for every need that's above us right now, God. You know every need that's coming before you tonight, God. I pray for Sister Kenda, God, that you would intervene in that situation tonight, Lord. Heal her body, God. Give her the comfort that she needs, the strength that she needs tonight, oh God. Touch Sister Mary for me tonight, God. Touch Sister Freeland tonight, oh God. Lord, have your way tonight in their lives.
Yeah.
place that is to be in His presence. I love being in the presence of the Lord, whether it's here or out there in that world, just to be in His presence. We do have a few announcers as the ushers get ready to come. On Wednesday, January the 7th, we will have the CHMS and My Church app kickoff. Brother Micah is going to do that. On Monday, January the 5th through the 21st is 21 days of prayer. And that's something that I got excited about this year. And fasting and praying is not something I get excited about. But fasting ain't. I don't mind praying, but fasting. But, you know, I come across that fasting, and I'll just be honest. I'm doing this David fast, or the Daniel fast. And for me to not eat meat for 21 days, or bread, or sweets, or sugar, or coffee, that's a challenge. But, you know, I'm excited about that. I've ate some broccoli, and I'm like, that's pretty good. I ate some squash. That's pretty good. So I'm excited about it. January the 11th, we're having a chicken spaghetti luncheon after the AM service at the R.L. Meyer Center. It's $9 a plate, all served into go boxes, stay or take home, served between AM and PM services. So, you, ladies, you don't have to cook on Sunday. On the 18th, we're having a PM service with the Right Road Quartet. And they are a phenomenal group. I've heard them in person, and they're neat people to be around. Giggles, and they're not coming? Okay. Sunday, January the 25th, we're having the Communion Sunday, and it is an AM service only, and our missionary pledge is due. And Tuesday, January the 27th, is Ladies United Fellowship. I believe it's at the Fish Fry with Sister Nancy Millsap. Going to be speaking at that. So if our ushers would get ready to come, we'll receive our Wednesday night tithe and offering. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to give back to You tonight, Lord. We just pray that You would bless everyone that gives. We pray that You would bless those that don't have to give, God. We just pray that this offering would go to the furtherance of Your kingdom, and let us reach this city, and let us kick the devil in the face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me.
Oh, yeah. aren't you thankful for that tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's good to be in church tonight, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. God bless you for being here tonight. And I'm out of breath from playing the drums, so give me like 30 seconds to calm down right here. Amen. Hallelujah. Glad to be in church. Thank you for being here tonight. Looking forward to a great time in the Lord with you. And it's always good to be with God's people. And I do want to say something tonight before we get started. Starting this coming Sunday, Brother Jones mentioned this, but Brother Micah will be coming up Sunday to introduce something. For a while now, you've had the Remind app that you've used to get notifications. Well, here several months ago, really longer than that, but in the last few months, the leadership team had gotten together and we're rolling out something new called the My Church app. And the My Church app will be where you get all of your church information going forward when it comes to calendars, when it comes to events. It keeps you up to date, what's going on, prayer requests, whatever, what have you. So this coming Sunday, he'll be coming up to the pulpit during our announcements. Take 2 or 3 or 4 minutes to introduce this to you. And there's a bit, maybe with a small learning curve, but it's not too hard to figure this out on this side of things. So please come prepared for that. This Sunday, you can get this from your Google's App Store, your Apple Store, wherever you get it from, the My Church app. So if you want to download that, you can do that tonight. And then on Sunday, there'll be some more clarification as to what's going on. And so it's a great thing. We're excited to be rolling this out this coming Sunday. I do want to say, I'm announcing this ahead of time, that I want us to be very aware that February 8, 9, and 10 is family revival here at the church. It's going to be great. You don't want to miss that. Amen. And I'm really making a push. I've already talked to Brother Tuttle this week. I've talked to Brother Hart this week. I haven't talked to Brother Dean or Brother Foster. And letting them know that our emphasis is on families this year. Really, I really felt some things for our church about families together, not just in a local assembly, but in the home. And God moving in our homes and doing a great work among us. And we're super excited to have Family Revival 2026 here at our church. And these are incredible preachers, but more important, we want families to come together for every service. And so I'm asking you, please make a point to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. I know it's more church than usual, but it's going to be good for us. Amen. So I ask you to please come. Amen. Amen. Come each of those services. And Brother Martinez has been so kind. We're going to put it on his LED signs around town. It's going to be a great thing for our community. And I'm really excited. On February the 15th, this is what I really wanted to push this year, is we're going to have this platform be transformed into a living room type setting. And it'll be just a sit-down interview. And it's all faith and family, marriage, family talk with Mark and Paula Foster. And Brother Foster pastored many years in West Monroe, Louisiana. And since his retirement, they've traveled America doing marriage seminars, talking to churches, and God's really gifted them incredible speakers. But it's going to be a sit-down conversation. And tonight, there is a box in the foyer. I talked to you about this Sunday. And if you'd like to put any questions you may have on family or marriage, whatever, you can put that in that box. And I'm going to submit this to them about 2 or 3 weeks before our coming together. So they'll have kind of a heads up, some questions I'll be asking that day. And I think it's important. We have lots of guests here. I want families to come that day. It's going to be a fun sit-down day. If you've ever had folks who've never been to a Pentecostal church and they're freaked out by our worship, it'd be a great day for them to come. More low-key, all right? And so invite someone out on that Sunday, February the 15th. It's going to be a great, great day here at the UPC of Paris. So excited about what God is doing among us. Amen? Amen. You have that picture I sent you? Yeah, if you, I'll give me a couple minutes here. I want to show y'all something. and Brother Anthony today, Sister Heather's dad, he sent me a picture on Sunday, or from Sunday service. And I'll put this up there. But while he's getting ready for that, and we're going to go to our scripture text tonight. And we're turning to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. And I do want to echo what Brother Jones talked about tonight. We're in the middle of prayer and fasting, and I said this on Sunday that, you know, where I'm not really a legalist on stuff like this. You just kind of do what you feel when it comes to prayer and fasting. But I do ask you for these 21 days to fast from something and make it be of importance, something that's kind of a strain, it's hard to do. And so I encourage you, please be aware of this fasting 21 days. Pray at least 20, 30 minutes a day if you can. Especially if you're an adult believer, you can pray going to work, coming home. It'll take up 30 minutes, surely. And if not, do it before you watch Fox News, amen? And so you can pray, amen. God is so good. And it's all about prayer, amen? It really is. All about fasting. And it's not for God's sake, it's for our sake to get closer to Him, amen? So I encourage you to do this. And I think Sister Stacy, Matt's here tonight, Addison and her, it's a great picture. So I want to show you this right quick. So Brother Anthony sent me this today, and I said, my God, I must have preached so long and put kids asleep on Sunday. And we had some kids tonight because jams wasn't happening, so I want to make y'all a promise. I will not put y'all to sleep tonight. I'll be fast before we leave this place tonight. Amen. I don't want to do this. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But that was so funny, and I talked about fasting on Sunday. It'd be good for the kids to fast, and Addison had sent me saying something out. Sister Stacy made the kids, I think at 6 o'clock or something, the phones had to go off or something tonight. I forgot what it was, and I thought, I don't know if it was for fasting or not, but I was fired up about that, making kids fast from phones, and that's pretty cool stuff. And our kids were stressed out Monday morning. We said, we'll just fast for the first 4 hours of the day from devices. Man, you thought the Lord was coming. Something was going to turn loose that day, amen. And, but it's good, amen. Nothing wrong with that. Teaching some, stepping away from some things. I mean, it's tough on me. I ain't going to lie, amen, amen. Joshua chapter, you can take that picture down. That's going to stress me out. Please don't fall asleep tonight. Joshua chapter 21. And the Bible says this. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. This is kind of a culmination. God has given them the land. It's all of theirs, the Levites, the people. And Joshua's ending this, kind of giving you an idea of what God did. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45 is our anchor verse tonight. Everyone said, not a word. Not a word did what? Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. I want to talk to us tonight. And I know it's Wednesday. And so I was with some people here a while back. And they told me, no, Sunday morning is for newer people and you're supposed to be evangelistic, and Sunday nights for the home folks, and Wednesday nights you're supposed to slow down. Well, I have ADD, so I don't know if I'm coming or going half the time, amen? And so I kind of felt a little bit of a preach-teach tonight, and it's a great, great crowd for Wednesday night. Thank you for being here. And I'll try not to give you a headache tonight, but I do feel like the Lord would have us say a few words to us, and I want to preach to us on simply, God can't fail. Amen? God can't fail. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this great group of believers tonight. We ask you to anoint us, speak to us, talk to us, Lord. Help us, God, to follow your voice, to hear your voice tonight, Lord. Bless this house. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord tonight before you're seated. Praise the Lord. May God bless you. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. God can't fail. I think you would agree with me tonight that we live in an imperfect world. We live in a fallen world. However, God is perfect. God never makes mistakes. God never does anything wrong. God is always right, and God is always complete in everything he does. That simply means his character is flawless. His decisions are always right. His promises can always be trusted, and nothing is missing or broken in him. We know that we as people, we grow, we learn, and we fail, but God does not fail.
So when we say that God is perfect, what we're really saying is you can fully trust him every single time. God, we understand, is omniscient. That simply means that God knows everything, past, present, future, and even the thoughts of the heart. We know that God is omnipresent. That means that God is everywhere at the same time. He is never absent or limited by space. We also know that God is omnipotent, which simply means that God is all-powerful, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. That means that he can never make a mistake. Even if it looks like he made a mistake, that's where I got it wrong. God cannot lie. That would make him imperfect, and he is not imperfect. If he says something, it is true by definition. That means truth is not something God checks. Truth comes from God. When God speaks, it becomes truth because he is truth. Thy word, he said, is truth. It is beyond argument and it is beyond discussion that God is perfect. Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Isaiah 55:11, we'll read this again in a few minutes, but the scripture, the Lord is speaking, saying that my word, he said, it goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In the middle of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, he says, it is impossible for God to lie. We know that people will fail. Nations will rise and fall. Systems will fail, and sadly, even churches can fail. But God can never fail. Failing is not in his vocabulary. He doesn't even know what it means to fail. He has never failed. He is the God who cannot fail. The promise God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob concerning multiplication of their seed, it was fulfilled because he cannot fail. I read a statement about this, and they said Joseph the dreamer, he saw all of his dreams become a reality simply because God cannot fail. In Exodus chapter 3, it's where Moses encounters God in the burning bush, and God calls Moses to deliver his people from over 400 years of slavery. And Moses, as you know, if you've read the scripture, he fights against the call of God, saying things like, I'm unable to do this. I'm slow to speak. But God tells Moses how he would deal with Pharaoh. God is going to send 10 plagues. And in the end, we know that Pharaoh is going to let God's people go. We know that Moses was very apprehensive about it all. And so God has to send Aaron, his brother, to help him in this endeavor. And at that point, Moses failed to understand that when God sets out to do something, he cannot fail. Joshua was only able to bring down the walls of Jericho because God cannot fail. God told Joshua exactly what he needed to do, and when it was all done, the walls had to come down. God did exactly what he said he would do. God's people entered the promised land because God cannot fail. David, we know, defeated that man Goliath because God cannot fail. David passed this truth down to his son Solomon, and it said these words in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. David also said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." That simply teaches us, Brother Griffith, that God is not weak. He's not deficient. He's not insufficient. God does not decay. He does not decline. He does not diminish. He does not sink. God does not fall short. He simply cannot fail. God will never go bankrupt. God is all powerful. He is abundantly abundant. He is all sufficient. He is productive. He's an ever-present help. He never leaves us. He just can't fail. That's just who God is. Amen. God is truth. We read it already, Isaiah 55 and 11. I want to read this again and go a little bit further. The Lord said that his word, it would go forth from his mouth, and that it would not return void, and that it would accomplish that which he sent it to accomplish. Now, in context, he's speaking of the gospel that would, it would come in the future, that this gospel message would go forth and it would not return void. But that scripture in principle also applies to the promises of God, that God's word will not go back, or God cannot go back on his word. In other words, his word equals results. His word will accomplish whatever he wants it to achieve and wherever he sends it to go to do. God's word is never spoken in vain. It never fails to produce, if you will, the effect that which God intends. In this verse, God is trying to get across to us as believers, if you will, that whatever I say, whatever I plan on doing, when I speak that out of my mouth, if you will, I will bring it to pass. I read something I thought was rather humorous that said, how many know that pigs can't fly? There's just no way. It's not possible. They never could, never will. Pigs don't fly. Well, the same it is with God. He just can't lie. It's impossible. He's not like you and I who have the ability to lie, or who have the ability for someone to call us a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. He never ever fails. He is always constant. He is always the same. He is always abundantly clear. My word shall stand forever. Amen. So if God can't lie, that means he is bound to the truth of his word. When God says a specific thing, then we know he's bound to it. He can't retract it, but he will uphold his word. Everyone said faith. We preach a lot about faith. We know the scripture is plain in Hebrews that if you don't have faith, you cannot please God. If you don't have faith, you can't see mountains, if you will, remove from your life. But the foundation of faith that Sister Nona Freeman taught years ago is that word called trust. We preach faith for miracle signs and wonders, but trust says even if he doesn't do it, he knows what's best for me. So I have faith that he is in control and that he will perform whatever it is he wants to perform in my life. So when God speaks words, if you will, of blessing, when God speaks words of provision, he is bound to keep his word. And if he is bound to keep his word, then that word can't fail, Brother Griffith, because he can't lie. When God says that with his stripes we are healed. And God is bound to his word. We could argue, what if God doesn't heal? That's where trust comes into play. And trust says, I have faith that God knows what he's doing. And hear me right now, someone, please. God's word will not fail in your life. I never will forget Brother Lee Stone, he was years ago, preached the word and told us, he said, listen, Brother T.F. Tenney, Brother Tenney said, either way, cancer dies. He said, if someone has cancer, either God heals it on this side of glory or it dies in the grave. Either way, God's word will not fail. You will be healed. You will be delivered. You will be set free in the end. Why? Because God can't fail. Amen. When God says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed, he is bound to his word. When God says he'll make a way out of no way, when God says he'll make a way from every, or escape from every temptation, he's bound to that word. Paul told us this in Corinthians 10 and 13, that there is no temptation taken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What he's saying is simply this. If you want to get out of it, God will help you get out of it. If you want to be free of it, God can help you be free. Why? Because he's bound to his word and he cannot fail. His word will never fail. When I fall short, Brother Jones, when I make mistakes like God knows I've done so many times, but when I repent of those sins, he is bound to his word. And he said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What he's telling you, Paris, is simply this. I will not fail at being God. When the accuser of the brethren comes in and tells you you've gone too far, he said, all you gotta do is with an humble heart ask me for forgiveness, and the God of all glory will come down to where you are, and he who is faithful will forgive you of whatever it is you need to be forgiven of. Hallelujah. Amen. If I'm in need of provision, man, God has tied himself to that unchanging word that cannot fail. Philippians 4:19, one of my favorite verses. But my God shall supply all your need according to, not the U.S. government, not whatever at Fort Knox, probably ain't nothing there anyways, but God will supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is bound to his word. He cannot fail. I read a statement that said God is not bound by us. God is bound by his own word because he chose to be. The psalmist said in 138:2, for you have magnified your word above your name. God cannot fail. Someone said that you and I will fail lots of times. Anyone ever failed before? Amen. Human ability will only take you so far. After that, we need God to take us the rest of the way. Amen. You're going to fail miserably without God involved in your life, leading you, directing you, and in some way solving your problems, your pains, your sufferings. You need God to lead you and to guide you. So what do we need to do? We need to get behind the one who speaks truth and the one who cannot fail. Any other position will lead to failure. Get behind the one that cannot fail. It is a matter of faith and longevity, if you will, if you're going to last any time serving the Lord. God wants me. He wants you to have faith, belief, trust, confidence in him. God wants our faith to count, if you will. Luke said, the Lord speaking to Simon Peter, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. He said, you're going to fall, but when you you fall, I pray that your faith would stand the test of time. I don't know why, but I feel this right now. To tell someone again, you may have fallen this week and you may have stumbled miserably today, but hear me. The reason you're here is because your faith is still standing, and your faith says, get back up. Get back in the fight again. Don't stop now. Don't go backwards. Keep on moving forward. Why? Because he who cannot fail wants to prop you up and tell you, I've got you in the palm of my hand. Amen. Don't let the enemy put you in a corner of defeat and despair. No, no, no. God is above and beyond that stuff. Amen. I'm not excusing sin and saying we should go around sinning, but my God, if I do fall, I have an advocate with the Father. If I do make a mistake, if I do fail, if I do find myself in this constant cycle of I just can't seem to get out of this rut, I've got a God in heaven who's never failed one time, and he'll come to my rescue, and he in due season will give me the wisdom. God, hear me somewhere right now. What you need to do is begin to pray for God to give you wisdom on how to get up out of this rut that you find yourself fighting on a daily basis. I promise you, God will give you Holy Ghost wisdom, and God will give you the tools in the toolbox to help you put it all back together. Oh, hallelujah. God will help you put it all back together if you'll just trust him. My. Man, you ain't got to have it all figured out. God, help me tonight. Amen. You got to stop worrying about how you're going to get it all. No, don't worry about how you'll get it all together. He has it all together. He just wants you to trust his process and know that he's got you in the palm of your hands. And the reason why you keep on doubting is because faith in you has been weary and you've been battered by the storms of life. But the great God of all eternity, he came walking on the sea. The Bible says at the third watch of the night, he came walking on the sea in a time when it looked like he shouldn't be there. But when he got there, he spoke peace to a troubled storm. And God can speak peace to you tonight. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't jump overboard yet. Amen. Tell him, stay with Jesus. Amen. He can't fail. But what about when it feels like God has failed us? Anybody been there before? There are times when it feels as though God has failed us, or it seems like God has turned around and walked out the door. Anybody been there before? There's a story in the Bible of a lady named Naomi in the book of Ruth. If you read just beginning in chapter 1, it was a horrible situation. Her and her husband and her two sons, they leave Israel for the land of Moab. And the Bible says that while living in Moab, a land that's far from her home, Naomi loses her husband and she loses both of her boys. There was a famine that was ravaging the land of Israel that forced them. They felt like they had to leave because of the famine that was in the land. If you read in Ruth, you'll find that Naomi, she is crippled with grief. She's destitute. She's alone. And I can read between the lines and say she feels like God has failed her. From her point of view, she felt like God was dealing bitterly with her. She even made this statement in Ruth chapter 1, verse 13. At the end of the verse, she says, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." But what Naomi did not know, and what I want to end with tonight, what Naomi did not know was that the famine, the move to Moab, and the deaths of her husband and her sons were all leading to something glorious and gracious in God's plan of salvation for her life. I have preached this story many times over the 23 years that God's let me preach this glorious gospel. And I've always preached this story in a very negative light, that they left Israel. They should have stayed put. They shouldn't have left the land. They got in trouble when they left. And that's all true. It's all contextually right. But you have to know that God is in the restoration business. God is in the business of putting people back together. And Naomi doesn't die in Moab. But Naomi would return to her homeland. And not by herself, she would return with a faithful daughter-in-law named Ruth. And if you read the story of Ruth and Naomi, there is a kinsman redeemer who comes along by the name of Boaz. And he's going to save Naomi and he's going to marry Ruth. And Boaz and Ruth would become great grandparents of King David, who would carry the bloodline of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But you have to know that she didn't see this side of the story. And amid her grief and brokenness, Naomi could not see the big picture. She could not know in her human finite mind what God was doing. And it's very important you hear me tonight. Naomi did not experience God failing. She experienced what felt like God failing. Because what seemed like God failing all turned around. And in the end, she realized God has not failed me. He has simply repositioned me. Naomi thought that God was against her in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 20 through 21 when she said his hand is gone out against me. But later when Boaz shows favor to Ruth, she acknowledges that God has not forsaken her. The Bible says in Ruth 2:20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And by the end of the book of Ruth, here she is holding Obed, the father of David. And the Bible says this in Ruth chapter 4, verse 16. Then Naomi took the child, she laid him on her bosom, and she became a nurse to him. Here we go. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is born a son to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. She came face to face with the realization that God cannot fail. It may have looked like he failed. It may have seemed like he failed. It may have felt like he walked out. But redemption came to where she was. And redemption said, "There's a better way. There's a plan out of this." Woo! Turn to somebody and tell them he never fails. Are you ready? It's an old one. It's cliche. It's preacher talk. But it's right. We say, yeah, he did it for them. But can he do it for me? We say stuff like, "I know, preacher, that preaches good and it's cute and it's good. It makes me feel good. But do you not understand where I'm at? Hello? Do you not know what I'm going through? Woo. I feel like the Lord has walked out on me. I feel like God has somehow shut the door on me. I feel like God has failed me." And the whole time, there's a book screaming at you saying, from Genesis to Revelation, "I've not failed one time. And if you think I'm going to stop now, think again. I'm the God who's in the business of putting things back together. I'm the God who's in the business who will restore and bring back together." Redemption is coming back to the place that feels like it's been deserted. Amen. He never fails. Hello. I mean, God is not going to start with you. Amen. Oh, God, help me tonight. I'm telling someone right now. I'm telling the Lord wants to give you faith back tonight. And I feel this again. Your faith is tied to trust. Hello. Well, he's not done it. I know he's not done it yet, but can you trust him enough to know he's going to do it? I know he's not made a way yet for you. I know the door hasn't opened like you thought it was supposed to open. I know the provision's not come like you thought it was going to come. I know you feel like you're being boxed in and you feel like you got nowhere to go but down. But you hear me. When you get to a place where you feel like there's nowhere to go but down, look up to the hills. From whence cometh thy help? Thy help cometh from the Lord. God is going to provide. God is going to make a way. If you can somehow trust God in the midst of the storm, it's going to be all right. God, have mercy. God's got you. God's never left you. God's got you in his hands. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't lose hope. Come on, look him in the eye, mama. Don't lose hope. That was so weak. Good God Almighty. Don't lose faith. There you go. It's going to be all right. God's got us. Woo. God's got us. I'm telling someone right now, God's got you right here. You walked in and you were discouraged and you felt like God had walked out. He ain't walked out on you. He's got you right here. God will make a way for you in due season. Woo. Hallelujah. Man, I can't give you the faith. I can't make you trust him. But if you'll somehow learn the value of getting in this word and falling in love with the promises of his word, God will, hear me, God will increase and encourage your faith. I'm telling you right now, I've said it a while back. We made all this stuff way too hard. I hated. Addison told me this week she started geometry. I hated geometry. And I did. I hated algebra. There's no sense in that mess, having to teach stuff like that in school. Good God, man. Now, if you're an engineer, well, that's your business. But I hated stuff like that. But sometimes we've made this out to something that it's not supposed to be. It's not this hard, got to figure God. No. God is ready to be figured out right now. What do I mean by that? That means when God says have faith, that's what it means. It's not a mathematical equation that takes 6 months to figure it out and you may pass or you may fail. No, when God says, if you can but believe, that's what he means. Well, what if it falls? It ain't going to fall because God's never failed one time. What if it falls? It ain't going under. If it goes under, God's got something better for you. Just hang on. God's in control. God can't fail. My. Fact of the matter is, there's people in this house tonight, no doubt. I've been there, so I can preach from experience, and you know this to be true, that you have felt like at times that God's done you wrong, that God's abandoned you, and you find yourself asking the questions. Anyone ever asked this question? Why hasn't he answered my prayer? Come on, honest people. Brother Griffith and Wash and Sister Stephanie, good to see y'all. Yeah, here we go. We've all had days. We felt like, man, God must not be listening. God's not answering prayer, but I want to encourage you with this tonight. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he himself has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, says the Lord, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. This is what some of you need right now. I will strengthen you. I don't want to get in a hurry, but please, someone just hear me tonight. Some of you are wanting God to give you a quick fix and a quick exit, and the Lord says, hear me, some of these things just take time, but I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'm going to uphold you as long as you keep your hand in my hand. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That just simply means his right hand meant power. I've got the power to hold you. I've got the power to keep you. I've got the power to undergird you. I've got the power to come through for you in the midnight. I've got that power. If you'll just stay with me, hear me, someone, please, please stay hand in hand with the Master. Don't let your trouble begin to drift you away and pull you away. Whatever you do, stay lockstep with the Master. Stay in harmony with the Master. Keep your hand in his hand, and he will help you. I mean, God can't fail. When you feel faithless, when you believe that God has left you, take refuge again in these pages, in this book we call the Bible. Did you know that God's word has stood the test of time? Amen. I can't preach it enough. There's a few verses I found tonight. Man, it just fired me up. I'm going to read them. They have these up there. Proverbs 35 tells us every word of God. What's the next part say? He is a shield to those who, I'm going to say it again. If you'll stay with him, he'll be a shield. His word is flawless. His word is unchanging. Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God. I love this one here. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Luke 1, 37. For no word from God will ever fail. 2 Timothy 13. Hear me, somebody, again. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he can't deny who he is. He can't fail. Even when you want to hear me, I'm telling you right now, I've been there. I've given up on the Lord. I hate to say it like that. I've had days where I walked away in my spirit, if you will. I felt defeated. I felt broken. I felt like God was a million miles from me. But I've learned every time I came back, the faithful one, the good God of glory, he always is there waiting for Brad to say, get back up, boy. You got one more fight in you. You got one more day. Thank God if I'm faithless, he remains faithful. He's not in a failing business, in case you didn't know. He's not out to make sure you fail. I'll squash that devil too. He ain't trying to make you fall. He ain't trying to ruin you. He ain't trying to hurt you. Amen. He's not trying to destroy you. He's in the business of restoration, of redemption. He cannot fail. Just ask Job. It seemed like failure, but it ended up being a divine blessing. Just ask my man Lazarus. Jesus didn't come in time. He died. Karen Peck sung it best years ago. He was 4 days late, but he was still on time. Hello. It was not on time in God's. It was not on time in man's economy. It didn't make sense what man was seeing. But the Lord said, I don't work in time. I work in the eternal. And if I say dead things come alive, they've got to come alive. It don't go, God help me right now. I don't care how far they are tonight. I don't care how backslid they are tonight. God can bring dead stuff back to life. God can bring it all back to pass. Woo! I could preach an hour and a half, and I ain't kids. And if you buried the dream, if you buried the call, if you felt like what God had on your life was dead and you discarded it some years ago, even God can walk by that and bring it back to life. All he's got to say is, Jim, come forth. All I got to say is, no disrespect, Ronnie, come out. And when he does, that which was dead wakes up and says, man, I feel it again. Woo. I feel like God's talking again. I feel like God's speaking. I feel like God wants to use me again. Oh, come on, somebody. I feel like God's got purpose on my life again. God, I feel it in this house. You felt like God had no more purpose on your life. You felt like you had your best years behind you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You got stuff left inside of you that the rest of the body needs to see. And God wants to wake you up again and tell you, I've still got purpose on your life. I still got a call on your life. My. And finally, to the world, Jesus seemed like a failure. Arrested, beaten, ridiculed, lied on, spit on, crown of thorns shoved into his skull, whip on his back, ripped to shreds, nailed to a cross. There he died. All the hopes, all the dreams of his followers is hanging on a cruel tree. But what they and what we lots of times don't realize is the cross was not a failure, but the cross was a part of his divine plan. Without the cross, Peter can't preach Pentecost message. The grave was a part of his divine plan. It looked like he had failed, but it was all a part of his plan because he can't fail. Because of the cross, because of the grave, and him rising on the third day, Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2 to the people who are part responsible for Jesus' death and who are inquiring about what does this mean, this Holy Ghost stuff that just happened in Acts chapter 2. Why do we hear all these folks speaking in these languages? Why do we hear them speaking in our language? What does this mean? And in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, notice this here. Fellow Israelites, Peter speaking here, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited or endorsed by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Watch verse 23. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Why? Because God can't fail. His plan stands even if death seems to be in the way. If God said it, he can't fail. And his plan said there had to be a cross. His plan said there had to be a grave. His plan said there had to be a resurrection. And thanks be unto God, even though the plan seemed like a failed plan, he who knows all things went through with the plan, because these same people who would feel convicted for what they had done would ask Peter in Acts chapter 2 verse 37, what must we do? And Peter would preach that message, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for his plan tonight. Thank God he can't fail tonight. Let's all stand. And when you found God for the first time, when you repented of your sins, when you were baptized in his name, when you received the Holy Ghost, evidence speaking in that heavenly language, you felt like a brand new man. Let me just do a poll. Maybe no one did this here. But did anyone say before you came to Christ, man, if I go in there, roof's going to fall in? A few of y'all. Let me ask you this. We say it in humor, but why did you say it? Because you felt unworthy. You felt like, I'm too big of a failure. No way he can. I've heard people say, man, I got so much sin. I've did so many crazy things. Ain't no way God wants to see me. But what was amazing is those of you who said that, when you got to an altar, when God washed you clean, when you went down in a watery grave, when you spoke in that heavenly language, when God filled you with his spirit, you came up and you said probably to yourself, in other words, thank
God he didn't fail me. Thank God he made a way of escape for me. Thank God it means even I, who was a wretched, dirty, rotten sinner, he didn't leave me to die in my sins. He didn't leave me on the side of the road, but he came like the Good Samaritan and he bound up my wounds and he let me know I can't fail. There's not a problem in your life that I can't put back together, that I can't heal. Amen. Let's thank God for that tonight.
You'd be surprised the people who are maybe even, I would dare say, I know so, in this community, who feel like there's no way they could get to God because of choices, life decisions that have wrecked their homes, their marriages, that they feel like they are out of reach. But I'm going to say it again. And I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you in faith. God is going to send people in this house who feel like they're the world's greatest failures, who feel like they have nothing to give, who feel like they're nasty, there's no way God could help them as a failure. And I'm telling you, when he does, there has to be a church who is standing on her tiptoes saying, I too was a failure. I too was lost. I too was broken. But he put me back together. And I'm here to tell you, if he helped me, he can help you. If he didn't fail on me, he won't fail on you. Amen. And to every good believer in this house tonight, hear me please. It is normal. Let me just free you of something. We'll go home. It is normal for even believers to have days, weeks, even months where it seems like, man, perhaps God walked out. But the key to you surviving, I'm going to end how I started, is you holding on to that five-letter word called trust. That says, I will trust you even when I can't see you. I will trust you even when I can't feel you, because your word never fails. God wants to encourage your faith and say, be encouraged in the Lord tonight. I can't encourage you. I'm not God, but he can encourage you. He can give you strength tonight. Amen. Amen. God cannot fail. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for your word tonight. I ask you to bless this church, Lord. Help us, God, to grab hold of your word, that you will not fail, Lord. You will make a way for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Amen. Are there any kids asleep? Any adults asleep? Praise God, everybody made it through tonight. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you back here Sunday, Lord willing.